There's no Starbucks nearby, so I didn't perk up, so it's going to be a sleepy...
I'm with you there.
Sleepy podcast.
There isn't a Starbucks nearby. What the fuck?
What the fuck? I think Starbucks...
I don't go to Starbucks.
I think Starbucks might be going out of business. I be losing all the business. What?
Do we tell them that the signal may go dead at any time? Power is just dropping off.
Power's dropping off.
My signal's staying strong.
Hey, you could be next.
Storm in San Diego, and we went to our studio today to set up, and there was no power.
Me and Sean arrived, and I'm like, oh, we gotta, like, move some stuff back. We gotta get, like, these microphones working right, and then flip the light switch.
Nothing. So I know everybody on the East Coast has been complaining about Stormzilla or whatever cute little cutesy name you gave your little blizzard over there on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. But we are knocking at the gates of hell over here in San Diego.
Yep.
We literally, if we were 10 blocks that way, we couldn't even turn on the PS4.
Couldn't do it.
Exactly.
Talk about hell on earth.
I've been playing board games since 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
Have you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you turn on the volume?
The devil's taking a piss on San Diego tonight.
Sucks. The devil's taking a piss?
The devil's taking a piss on San Diego tonight. That's how heinous this storm
like a
is.
Hot rain.
For real, I was playing video games when the fucking power went out.
Are you serious?
Hadn't saved Resident Evil Zero.
Oh, that means you have to play more of that game, and that's a fucking chore.
Yeah.
Should I get the Resident Evil Zero remake? I didn't play it the first time. I've never played it.
If you like the original tank control style Resident Evil games, it's like the last of those.
But they added the new controls, right?
Yes, they did.
Because they did that with the first Resident Evil remake on PS4. They ported all these to PS4, and they added modern day controls.
Mm-hmm. More importantly, do you want a physical copy of the Resident Evil original remake?
Nah, I don't need it.
Oh, does that come with it?
Yeah.
You can get a disc with both. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
For $40, it is both. I think that's the only way you get Zero is with Resident Evil Remake.
No, I think you download it.
Download. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I only know
doesn't
about physical.
Any Resident Evil before 4 or after 4, not worth it.
Yeah.
If you weren't there for it, I feel like that might be true. Atmospherically, still great games. Very hard to pick up. I do think I've said this before, I have an affinity. Those tank controls are kind of the definitive way to play. It's meant to be almost like its own puzzle to get away from things that are coming after you. It adds to the fear and the tension.
Mm-hmm.
But in 2016, I can't fucking do it. Like, that's the bottom line.
Yeah.
So if you could try it, and then if you get pissed, try the new controls.
You know what would be cool is if somebody did an Unreal 4... adaptation of the original Resident Evil for the Oculus. I would love to revisit the mansion and full VR support. That would be an experience.
You think that's probably going to be a thing, like remaking these titles?
Yes, you know what? Honestly, I was thinking about kind of the state of video games, and I feel like honestly, video games get really good all at once. Every, 5 or 10 years, and then you kind of have to wait until that moment happens again.
Some new thing that pushes
it. All I was going to say is I feel like the new next-gen consoles, Xbox One, PS4, they're cool, but the next big moment is going to be when we solidify VR.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when you're going to see,
a good batch of cool...
An explosion, cool, like, another golden age of video games, which I feel like there was a golden age maybe, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Sure, I'd say every 5 years or so... Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, I see a bit of it now, and you might not participate in this as much, but what was kind of neat about so far with these new consoles is the ability, the ease of streaming, and that added a community aspect, and I love that. I actually like turning on the live channels and seeing is this the new Assassin's Creed? Whoa, I haven't seen, and and there's some guy talking hey, what should I do next? That's a pretty neat thing, but that's not really on the creative side. You know what I mean? In terms of the actual games.
You know what?
So we got a little bit of an interesting thing to happen, but I think, Oculus and all this PlayStation VR and stuff is when you're going to get the new worlds and the new, whatever. I'm more excited.
Well, I just had the realization that imagine the first Mario level, classic level. They're going to have it where now your Mario in the VR, yeah. and that's yeah. the perspective of seeing things that way.
Yeah.
That's going to happen, and that is very exciting to me. Yeah. That, like, blows my mind.
That's already a YouTube video. So you may have stolen a trademark idea.
That's, oh, wait.
I think Brandon...
Do we have a legal representative in
here? I didn't know.
Hopefully there's a lawyer in the chat.
I honestly didn't know.
There is a...
doesn't matter.
Oh, fuck.
I think it was Brandon who was formerly... He formerly made stuff with Freddie Wong.
Yeah.
When he on that channel, I think he made that.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And you've met him. You spit in his face.
Yeah, you did. It was disrespectful.
Well, I guess I'm off the podcast again. Sorry, guys.
I'm not going
to
say anything else.
I'm looking forward to VR. Yes, very much. I think it's going to be funny. We're going to look back at a time when VR wasn't perfected, and it's going to feel very alien. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's going to be the paradigm shift. Because I played VR. I did a demo at GDC last year, and it was already pretty cool. There were a couple things they need to work out. It's not ready for the market yet, but the demo that I saw was very impressive to the point where I was, for a few days, I couldn't stop thinking about it. I was like, dude, that's the fucking wave of the future.
Yeah.
Was it an Oculus?
It was an Oculus. Yeah. I think that one day it'll be as common as like laptops and iPads. There'll be an Oculus in multiple rooms of every home.
A lot of people are swearing that they're not going to get into it. And I don't think they haven't tried it. I don't think it's for everyone, and that's another thing. Yeah, they haven't tried it yet.
Go ahead.
Oh, I played this game, Lucky's Tale, I think it was called, at PAX.
Yeah.
And it was like a 3D Mario game. It's exactly what I call it, but you're a fox instead of Mario. And I was in that world, and I was looking around everywhere, and I was thinking, like, I always wanted to do this since I was a kid. And I'm doing it, and it's fucking awesome. Like, it was so cool.
I think it'll be a lot more practical than people realize. Honestly, it will replace your telephone. I think that every house will have a 3D Oculus camera here, and you'll be able to have your grandma, who's too old to leave her bedroom, she'll be able to spend Christmas with the family. Mm-hmm. She'll be able to put an Oculus on, and it'll be like she's sitting on this couch.
Yeah,
she'll see everything that's happening in real time. She'll be able to interact with people.
Yeah.
She'll be able to watch people open up the gifts she sent them.
I was just going to say, I think Leo Laporte, who does a technology podcast that I listen to, I think he set up something like that even just recently where he had a 360 camera in his studio, and if you had any of the headsets, you could actually
be in the studio
and you're looking and, wow, oh, they're going to this camera. They're going to that.
I think when the president does the State of the Union someday, they'll have a camera there. Everybody who wears their Oculus, it'll be like they're sitting front row. Yeah.
So here's something just as important. WWE teamed up with Samsung to do that.
Ooh. Whoa.
They actually had a camera during an NXT event, I think Finn Balor versus Kevin Owens for the title, this ladder match.
Yeah, where was the camera?
It was, you know where like the ring bell and like the announcers kind of sit? Like,
yeah.
It's right around
there.
They
fucked up.
I haven't seen it yet. I really want to.
Put it in the middle of the ring?
Put it in the middle of the ring.
They knock it over in 5 minutes.
In the middle of the Royal Rumble, you get to see the action from the ring.
Fuck.
Dude getting thrown out over there.
Yeah.
Dude getting thrown over there.
But then
another dude entering down the hall.
But I think what they're trying to do is they teamed with Samsung to do this stuff. And I think they're just experimenting with, because I still haven't seen, I cannot find this footage. It, for the life of me, I've looked.
Sure.
Because, I've watched crazy videos on my phone where I can do this.
Yeah, it's like
I'm there. I would love to watch a match like that, even though you're pretty much focused here. Just to, like, look around would be really cool. I think you're going to get a lot of experimentation with concerts, with the All-Star game, like baseball,
and
everything. And you're going to have it in different cameras in different spots where you're like, oh, I want to see this from first base side. Oh, I want to see this from, like, left field. I want to see this from behind home plate.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to have all these
options.
There
was a Jeff White concert that I have.
Yeah.
That you, like, you, yeah, same thing, you're looking around, but if you didn't like the angle, you go like this with the camera,
and
it's a different camera.
Yep.
And again, now I'm behind the stage.
Use Google Cardboard.
It's going to be Saving Private Ryan, except you're on the beaches.
So
it's going to be crazy.
You always hear about, like, oh, yeah, you do that, and then, oh, porn. You're going to be like, you're there.
Oh,
No, see, I'm against that. Fuck that. Where are you looking? Like, the pussy's right here. What? Where am I? Oh, wow. Whoa, the ceiling's like, holy.
Whoa, there's air. There's
air. All right, let me paint a picture for you.
Yeah,
okay.
Dude.
The pussy's right here.
But.
Oh, I didn't know I'm looking through the port of a submarine. What the fuck? Am I in? Hold on. Am I doing somebody in the world of Yellow Submarine? That's fucking crazy.
was John Lennon watching me up there? That's fucking crazy.
I think that your riff was 1,000 times more creative than the VR porn we're going to be getting.
Whoa! Am I a man or a woman doing Aladdin or Jasmine on the carpet while we're flying all over the world?
A whole new world.
The thing that I think with with all this VR stuff, though, I do think there's still some... Personally, maybe people out there will disagree, but I think there's still a little bit of misconception on its place. And what I mean by that is there's still a shade of it being like, oh, is this some like the next Kinect? Which is so not what it is. I mean, when I tried it, because I kind of thought that before I tried it, I was just like, I don't know.
This is what Kinect was trying to be.
Yeah, something interactive. Yeah, yeah. But what made it work is that it's not asking me to go,
yeah.
It's just another way to look at an image.
Yeah, you can still use a controller, and like if you have the ability to be in like that rig thing, you know, moving forward and playing.
Hey, let me tell you, when I did my demo, one of the most impressive things is it kept showing me, like, it would put me in a world, and then it'd fade to black, and it'd come up in a whole new scenario. Mm-hmm. And one of them, I was standing on top of a skyscraper on, like, a steel beam. And it was, like, it was like I was up there. Yeah. I could hear the wind in my ear, I could see stuff down there, and as I moved, the perspective changed with me, and I started stepping off the beam, and I felt like I was in a Wile E. Coyote cartoon. Yeah. I was, like, walking on the air. It was so surreal. I started, like, getting chills, and I heard somebody in the actual room be like, careful, you're gonna... hit a wall, stop. I wasn't aware that I was in a room anymore because I was so just enchanted by the idea of like, holy shit, I'm like flying above this building. It was like being in a dream. It was really cool.
Well, I was just going to say real quick to finish my thought on that was, it's just another way to look at it. And the one thing I'm curious about is there's Oculus, there's PlayStation VR, but then another big one right now is the HTC Vive or V, or I don't know how you say it. And there's a lot of people saying, no, forget the other ones. That's the one that's going to be big. And in action, what it is it's got sensors on the outside. You have to clear a 15-foot space, and you have motion controllers, and you're walking around, and it's like, okay, pick up the sword, and you actually pick it up, and you have it.
And it's like 1-1.
And you're walking around. Now, that technology is cool, and it is great. But I don't think that's the version that's going to be the one that that wins the whole thing.
Because
it's still asking you to do something out of your comfort zone. And when you want to play games, you don't want to do that. So that one is really cool. I'm not saying the technology isn't cool. That's amazing. But I still think what's going to make the other ones succeed is that it's still only asking what you've always done with video games. You could sit and play.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I think that technology is super cool. But I just think that won't quite be the mainstream one. I think things like Oculus.
Someone wearing
will
that
be more.
The last one you were saying, I don't remember the name of it, but someone threw a ball at someone wearing the thing, and they saw it in the game and they caught it.
Yeah.
But they're like completely blocked off.
Yeah, exactly. It's incredible technology. It's
great. I have two problems or like concerns with VR. When I'm playing games, the first thing, when I'm playing games, when there's load screens, when I kind of like want to be done for like, you know, not like done playing the game, but just like take like a break for like a second, I pause it. And then I'm like on my laptop or I'm on my phone, I'm doing something else just for like, you know, in between like a loading screen, take a bite of food, whatever.
Yeah.
I feel like with VR, you're very involved. And in order to like not be, it's going to be kind of like, let me take off my headphones, let me take off the thing, let me put it somewhere, whatever. Yeah. It's more than just a controller. The other thing, my second concern, I trust no one.
Yeah.
You are asking me to
cut yourself off
completely.
Yeah.
And I don't even like being this close because I feel like somebody's going to hit someone in the balls. I know we're beyond that.
Yeah.
I don't years of conditioning have trained me to trust no one.
Yeah.
I refuse.
Regarding the first one, I kind of don't even see that as a bad thing. Like, I feel like so many things that are out now and that we do are already we're so distracted and shit that I think it's okay once in a while to have something cutting you off.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't have any issue with that. I know what you mean. It is a hassle if it's like, oh, phone call. Maybe they'll have something built in. Mm-hmm. You know, when I use my MacBook and I get a phone call.
I hadn't even considered
that. Yeah.
When I already have stuff built in.
Exactly. When I'm on my MacBook, I get a phone call. A thing comes up on my MacBook screen. Hey, you want to take it from here?
Yeah, and to me, I don't see anything different from like locking the door and watching a movie for 2 hours.
Yeah, or being at the movie theater. you know, or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, the second one, I know as soon as I get it, there's going to be eight. Dominic's going to take a fucking YouTube video of me and upload it, or, you know, whatever. Yeah. Even when I first saw it, I put up a video from E3 of some guy going, and I'm sure that guy doesn't appreciate it, you know. But anyway, I definitely see that part of it.
And two, you can't underestimate, it is a totally different experience than watching something on TV.
Sure.
The final thing of the demo they showed me was made by Weta, and it was something for The Hobbit, and it was
the Dragon
Hobbit. Yeah, I was in Smaug's like dungeon, and it was just mountains of coins all around me. I felt tiny.
Well,
then,
really cool.
Then it was like an avalanche of coins started, and like this dragon rose up out of them and started walking over me, and like I was like staring at his gooch. whereas nuts would be.
And you say VR porn can't work.
He was like walking over me. It was like that moment in Jurassic Park where the T-Rex like walks over the car. I was like looking at this massive thing.
That's
so
kind of intimidating.
It was intimidating. I felt like I was there. And so it's totally different from even being in a theater and watching it on screen.
Well, the thing is, they tell you what to look at then. Mm-hmm. But when you are doing that, you choose what you're looking at. Like that is... It's up to you, and that's what people don't understand who haven't tried it.
Yeah. I do. The one thing that does kind of scare me about the whole thing, though, is scary stuff is almost like too scary with that on.
Oh, because 100%. That on? Oh, yeah. Fuck that.
Because I saw, Kevin's looking forward to that.
Oh, yeah.
But I saw a video of a thing I saw a video of, I don't remember what it was called, but they put you in a cage underwater. And I will never play that.
ISIS game.
It would... Happy birthday, Garrett. in a cage underwater, and you keep seeing a shark start to come by.
Oh,
and
cool.
I was watching it on YouTube, and my palms were sweating. It was like, don't come near the... Don't. And it starts to, like, get near the cage, and it starts to, like, beat the cage, and it's like, fuck.
There's been one for spiders, one for snakes.
Every phobia you've got.
Yeah. I think Facebook technology right now of, like, oh, check out this video, you can 360 look wherever you want, is a cool placeholder for having something that's going to be... Something I'm going to be wearing and something I'm going to be, like, very involved in.
Yeah.
Because I can watch those videos all day. Like, I think that's the coolest... That is, like, future tech that I think is so fucking cool. Mm. Something in my pocket I can open and I'm like, yeah, here's a 3D video. Let me just... Like, it's 360 everywhere that I look. Like, that's incredible.
So I'm excited for the hardware to get... Right now, like, you need a really, really expensive rig for,
Sure.
The headset to work.
Right,
dude. But eventually, it's going to be down to the size of it's built into the headset.
Here's what I want.
Everyone's going to have their own personal visor.
Take a 360 camera, take a bunch of them, launch them into every direction in space.
Hell yeah!
Just let me tune in.
Yeah.
After like 10, 15 years, let me just tune in, see what's going on.
That's cool. Yeah, that would be
really cool. Imagine that. Awesome.
It's going to be like sci-fi movies. When there's a crime, they're just going to go look back at 360 footage from that area, like CCTV.
Oh, in the future, there'll be a 360 camera in every home in America.
And every street corner.
Deal with
it. Just, it picks up every, this person was shot here, let's go look and like watch. It's like Minority Report.
We just have to figure out some pre-crime stuff.
Yeah.
We got to figure out, though, like you're saying, though, we do have to figure out building all that stuff.
Yep.
Building all that stuff into the visor, because I don't know if you heard about this, but PlayStation VR is out in the next few months.
I am so excited.
But it does have, apparently, a processing unit. Like, it connects to a little box to the PS4. Like it actually requires a little thing to hook up.
Piece of hardware.
In the middle.
Wait, so that's not wireless?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. No.
No, I think it actually
requires... Deal breaker.
I don't think we have that yet. Yeah, honestly. I could be wrong.
I just assumed it would be, but yeah, why would it be?
Wireless VR video?
That's a lot.
And audio? No,
call me spoiled, but deal breaker.
But I'll let you know, because Dead or Alive Extreme 3 is coming out. By the way... So, we talked about before, this is a little bit of a pivot in the conversation.
That's fine.
But
you can pivot.
I was going to say...
No, hold on, just...
Yeah,
no
pivoting yet.
Don't pivot quite yet.
Okay.
Plant your feet.
The more Dead or Alive games that come out that are not about fighting and that are just about hot chicks...
Well, there's only been three.
The more that name becomes creepier and creepier...
How many fighting games?
Just want to put that on the table.
Dead or Alive.
There's
Dead
been
or Alive.
Five Dead or Alive games, but multiple versions of 1 and 5. Actually, in 2.
Here's one.
I don't know what... When you say Dead or Alive, do you mean the one in bikinis or do you mean the fighting one?
Well, this is the fighting game.
Yeah, this is the fighting game.
There have been five versions of the fighting game.
Yes.
Okay.
But a different version of one and a different version of five. So I guess that's seven.
It's just the more it's getting like necrophiliac overtones.
Yeah. But there have been three.
They're alive. Hot chicks.
There were volleyball. There were three that were about playing volleyball.
Just call it hot chick volleyball. Yeah. Volleyball at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Leave out the violent
overtones.
But it's
overtones. The characters of Dead or Alive.
Right, but Derek is saying
but we're getting further and further removed from that being relevant.
Hey, there hasn't been one that wasn't about fighting in 10 years. So it's okay. They can do one.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's right. Okay.
What do you think? It's like, training.
I'm really upset because you guys don't understand why it's okay, so...
But anyway, that is VR compatible. And that will put it to the test. You're going to be able to look from every angle at stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And so that'll be... I'll let you know how that goes. And I'll keep you updated every moment.
And the thing, too, about VR porn... There's going to be porn stars who, like, make their own VR video. Like, you could do Carmen Electra someday.
Is she a porn star?
Unless it's like 96.
Sorry. I just called out the hottest chick ever. So,
you just wish she did porn.
Sue me. Yeah. But someday, in a perfect world, Carmen Electra VR pornography.
Wow.
What's she been up to? Didn't she put out a song?
No.
Did she?
Hey, you know what? Probably. Hey, you know what? Let's play it now. Theme song. Don't wanna think too much. Just turn the music up. Yeah, I like it. I like it. You know the words to all my songs. I like it when you sing along. I know you like my cheeky style. You wanna kick it for a while. You got me high.
Was that the latest theme song we've ever done?
That was Carmen Electra's latest hit song.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's what she's up to.
Good luck finding it, Sean.
No, you'll find it.
I'll find it.
You probably don't have the album.
I heard a complaint from 21 Pilots fans that you...
Stop there.
You used all the mainstream songs and you didn't use the actual good ones. Like you used like the radio mainstream hits, but not like the actual like obscure like the good ones.
Yeah,
like,
if you're a real fan,
the ones that everyone knows. Yeah.
You're a music guy. You know that I'm the stuff they play on the radio is bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The good stuff is the stuff that's too good for the radio. Because normies can't handle it.
Right.
And you made us look like a bunch of normies.
I still can't believe that. Those two 21 Pilots songs are both 21 Pilots songs. They sound like they are not
They're the radio hits.
So weird.
I didn't really know what that band was before, and so I just found a couple songs and threw it on in there.
It's showing up in all my feeds.
They're really weird. I think they're Christian. It's a Christian band.
I don't know.
21 Pontius Pilots?
Yes. And I guess... Have you seen the guy's tattoos? Is that a tattoo? Do we know?
It's like his neck,
this, and his hands are just black. Just like
cover it up.
Like there's just paint smeared.
Like he was wearing a plastic turtleneck and it melted to him.
So weird. Anyways,
that's not 21 Pilots.
That was a weird thing.
But anyways, so you just use all the normal songs and
sorry,
you gotta get the obscure tracks.
Sorry guys, I'm not a pilot head.
Dude, B sides.
Okay. Anyways. We had a video come out this week.
Yeah.
Transition.
We did.
We didn't know what we were doing. It was our reaction to Fine Bros video.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
Might have missed it. It might have slipped right through.
It's funny. It hit number one on Reddit. It was the number one thing.
Not just video. Anything on Reddit. Which was very, very unexpected. We were in the middle of making a different video. And
in fact, people wondered, like,
what was wrong with Rocco? Was Rocco okay?
Rocco had makeup on from another video we were filming.
So good job on the makeup.
We wrapped filming for the day. I think Frank said, have you heard this fucking thing they're doing? We jumped on the green screen. And 5 minutes later, I forgot we filmed that video.
We yelled and then turned it off.
Yeah. I walked into work the next day and said, we're number one on Reddit right now. And I thought, for what?
It was the least amount of work we put into a video in a long time. I think it took 10 minutes to film. And what, a couple hours to edit?
You got a couple hours. Actually, you guys had left.
Yeah.
And Frank and I were at the studio. We went and got buffalo wings and then came back and I edited that for 2 hours and went, oh, it's fine.
Yeah. And you know what? 2 hours. You know what? We totally farted it out. Mm-hmm. It was a thing that, big news story that day, so we made a couple of jokes and said, hey, that might be a funny video.
And I thought it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Was going on was so, the whole situation was so off-putting to us that we were just uppity about it. And it was like, let's just turn on the fucking camera and yell. Yeah. Why are we yelling off camera? Let's turn it on.
Right. Yeah.
And that was it. I think we were saying before, what we didn't expect was people have been using this video as kind of spearheading a movement, which we did not intend at all.
No, we're getting political. Like, I think it's about time.
Hey, honestly, we do this all the time. We'll just crap out a video about something stupid that happens, and it feels like we're the only ones who care.
Yeah.
But this time, we had opinions that I guess a lot of people shared, so...
Which is... cool.
Yeah, it was unintentional though, but the video really blew up.
I didn't make my beard as gross as I could.
Oh, we did that.
Sean, you're my favorite in the whole video because your beard is out of control and you don't say anything.
Yeah, I don't.
The community. Yeah, it's really great.
I'm really excited about it.
Before we filmed, I thought, well, this is a nothing dumb thing, anyways. I'm just going to be extra dumb and make my beard. I saw it like this. And like, all right, we're good to go.
Same with me and the eye makeup. I was like, I could wash this off, but I. Fuck it, I'll look sickly.
Who cares? But I feel like this is just like, we make fun of videos when PETA wants to ban Cooking Mama.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of another example recently. But I can't, but even like make videos about swatting and just like anything that's stupid that's going on. We'll make a video about it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this one people were like,
good on Mega 64.
Yeah,
and I think, I kind of said this before, but I just think people had not. This sounds a little more insulting than I intend.
Uh-oh.
But let me go into this for a second.
Okay.
I think no one had been given catharsis from the Fine Brothers. And what I mean by that is, when you look...
What do you mean by that?
Okay, Fine Brothers, I'm sure, are wonderful people, but...
We know they are.
Yeah, I've heard from many people that they're great guys. But, when you go on YouTube... No matter who you are inundated with children react, teens react to Nirvana, grandparents react to a can opener, dogs react to World War II, Italian people react to handguns, you know, like it's just
their forums,
something, everything, and everywhere, and then to pile on top of this cacophony of shit. Then they put out a video saying, hey, guess what? Now we have a React empire. We've trademarked the word React. You can make your own React video. Use all our logos. Share ad revenue with us. But it ballooned into this thing that's just, you know.
Slow your fucking
and so roll. We put out a video that's like just ripping on it and just deflating it.
Yeah.
With our sarcasm. And I think there were just a million people going, oh, fuck, thank God. Oh, someone's sick of this, too, you know?
But, you know, yeah, I agree. I think it's bigger than the Fine Brothers, though.
Sure,
Like we were saying, I think it's like you get pissed off when Taylor Swift does it with this sick
beat. The trademarking situation.
You get pissed off when the NFL trademarks the term Super Bowl. And it's just like the Fine Brothers was one too many.
Yeah.
It's like I can't say anything to the NFL that's going to fucking matter. But I could definitely...
The Fine Brothers are a reachable target.
Yeah, exactly. 100%.
And so they kind of became...
They're small enough and painting with such broad strokes that they just became the biggest bullseye.
And that's one thing I will say is kind of unfair, frankly, about this happening with the Fine Brothers. I feel bad for them in a way because what they're trying to do, there have been so many... Okay, so for people who don't... Just in case people don't know what we're talking about. They... attempted to trademark the word React, which is a very basic term. But I get where they're coming from. They're trademarking. They have a channel that's youtube.com/react. They post people reacting to stuff, you know?
Right.
And so whatever. But it just came off. And honestly, frankly, it's all communication. They put out a video that talked like, you know, we're doing the world a favor. We're going to let you make a react
people
video.
People look
if you
back
want.
On this all, day yeah. in history and yep. realize this is the day.
Yeah.
This is
yeah.
the video. This is the moment
yeah.
that changed everything.
And so it was all communication. Yep. I know those guys are, I mean, I don't know them personally, but I'm assuming they don't want to take over the world and, you know, whatever.
Well, who can say?
What sucks is that, I mean, the NFL has made it to where you can't fucking say
Super Bowl. Yeah.
I mean, oh my God! And but yeah, Taylor Swift copywriting the term 1989. Like, come on.
Hey, Dom.
Someone walked in that did not know we were doing a podcast.
The power went out of our studio, so we had to invade your house. Sorry
about that.
Improvise.
We could be next.
Keep going.
But anyway, yeah. So I mean, the Super Bowl has done that. Taylor Swift was
yeah.
copywriting this sick beat and all these basic things, whatever. You know, there have been way worse
yeah.
things. So I do feel bad because the Fine Brothers, yeah, it's like they're the approachable target, so everyone's throwing tomatoes at them. Whereas the NFL, it's like, well, yeah, you can't say Super Bowl.
And
you know, whatever. But I should rewind it a little bit, though. The thing is, yeah, Super Bowl is, okay, they did trademark that. You can't say that. But still, you could say, I mean, the Super Bowl is a specific thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this sick beat is this phrase, 1980, you know, I don't know, whatever with all this other stuff. But react is the most basic term. It's up there with breathe, sleep, eat. These are things humans do. And it doesn't look good no matter what you're trying to do, good or bad. It doesn't look good when you are trademarking react. React!
It goes deeper
like,
than... It's such a complex issue, too, because
it is,
the big argument with Super Bowl and the NFL, they were saying, like, if you advertise something as Super Bowl, that detracts from our product. And that's kind of the what all of this is built on. Like, if you start saying it, people will stop coming to our thing because they could get it from you.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And so these React videos, with that logic, it kind of says, like, well, if Tommy over there gets 15 views... Nobody's gonna watch elders react to Panic at the Disco, and it's like, really? Does it matter that much? It comes down to the question of like, just because it's legal, does that make it right? Just because legally you can trademark a
does
word,
does that make you cool?
Does that mean that that it's okay for you to do that? And I think a majority of people out there say no, it's not okay. Just because legally you can do it doesn't mean it's right.
Yeah, and I just think. Nothing good came out of trademarking the word react.
I know
they were going after, you know, and protecting their thing. And any big YouTube channel should do that. But like even like Ray William Johnson, I could give a shit about Ray William Johnson, but his show is called Equals 3.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing I know. It's called Equals 3. He should trademark that. You know, you don't want Sony to make the Equals 3 show. You know, whatever. I know that they don't want Sony to make a show that's called, you know, React. But man, this is the problem when you have, and again, I'm going to sound more insulting than I intend to the Fine Brothers, but I'm sorry. When when you're working with the most basic human thing as your premise, that's the danger of it.
Exactly.
And I know that a lot of what the Fine Brothers have done is out of fear because frankly, sorry, no offense to them, anybody could do their format. Anybody on planet Earth can show a 9-year-old a music video from the 90s and say, what do you think about this? Anybody could do that, and they're afraid of anybody taking it from them. If you look online, in 2014, they tried to get the Ellen Show to cave when they showed kids a typewriter. Do you know what this is? They tried to get their comments swapped and like everything taken down. BuzzFeed showed kids 90s videos.
They
wrote an inflammatory thing about it. Like,
they can't be the best forever.
Yeah.
And so they're trying to lock out whoever could be the best.
And it you know, that's the danger. I'm not even saying the Fine Brothers don't do that the best. Let's say right now they do.
Yeah.
They have the best reaction videos in the world, but that's the danger when you're working with... That is the most basic human thing. And I was telling the other guys the example of everybody on Earth, any human who has ever played video games, any of you out there, I guarantee at some point has said, as you're sitting and playing the newest video game, you know, fucking Resident Evil 7 comes out. You're sitting there, and what do you say at some point?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be cool if you could show video games to someone 100 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
That's a basic human reaction. So, yes, you want to show a Nirvana video to a 5-year-old and go, hey, what do you think about this? What is this? You know, that's something all humans want to do.
Their show really is kind of akin to just a news program. It's people sitting there talking about things that have happened.
Really? That's it. I mean, they're not like making short films and showing kids, like,
that's the thing, is they're not making the content that they're showing. They're showing it's just, something that they don't own.
It's just stuff that has happened. So it's kind of just like a news program.
To me, the whole thing just seemed like another restriction being put on the creativity of YouTube.
Yeah. Right, and I just kept thinking of, like, the kid who has 4 subscribers.
Yeah,
and makes a video. Or whatever. I mean, we made fucking parody videos when we were younger because I don't know what the fuck I was doing. Yeah. I just honestly still don't.
It's just, to me, it was another sad nail in the coffin of what the heyday of YouTube used to be, the creative freedom.
I can't imagine getting a cease and desist when I'm 13. I don't want to get made a react video. Yeah. That's fucking terrifying.
We don't want to get misconstrued. Like, we don't have a personal vendetta against the Fine Brothers.
No.
I don't think any of us enjoy their content.
I can't speak for all of us, but I don't even think we really care about React videos.
That's not at all.
I don't watch Five Nights at Freddy's videos either. There's just content on YouTube not made for me.
But what you were saying, though, about like the heyday of YouTube and stuff like that, is where I think the heart of all this lies, and why I did want to make a video about it, is because they do, in their video they put out, which is really, that was the whole thing we were making fun of, was their video. Their video, they talk about, YouTube has become too corporate, and we're representing, you know, cool stuff for real creators to do. Yeah. And meanwhile, they're talking about how you can share your profits with them and license all their things. Yeah. I know they probably had good intentions, why we made the video right there, is that incongruity.
It stunk of when Tidal had their announcement video, and it was was like Nicki Minaj and the guy from Coldplay and Madonna being like, finally, this is your chance to stand up to the big companies, and we can finally make sure the artists get paid. Yeah. And I'm thinking, like, like, Nicki Minaj has never made a dime off of her music. Finally, we can make sure Nicki Minaj is taken care of.
And that's exactly what I'm talking about. To me, the whole reason to do the video was exactly that. Don't piss on my leg and tell me it's raining.
Yeah.
That's my whole point. That's the whole point I wanted to make. What's right, what's wrong, that does not concern me. Just personally, don't tell me it's this, when the only benefit, they kept saying it's for the community, and that, which is my favorite part of our video, is the repeat mentioning of the community. But the whole reason it was said, you know, they say that and they say it, but it's, guys, it's to make you money. Like, just say it.
What's ongoing, what continues to be funny to me, is that the Fine Brothers haven't changed their position whatsoever.
So they put out a response
video. They keep releasing new videos.
They react to everyone, but
online. It just keeps reaffirming their original point of, no, this is great. It's cool.
No, you guys don't get it.
You don't understand why this is actually okay. It's like, how many people need to get angry before you consider maybe they have a point?
Maybe you shouldn't have done it.
Yeah, or just, I don't know.
But in bringing that up, though, I do just want to say that, again, people have been using our video as a spearhead for a lot of stuff, and I've been seeing us get lumped into a lot of hateful things that really we weren't even intending to. Meaning, honestly, a lot of what I see is still, and the initial big Reddit post about this said, they're trying to copyright all reaction videos. And the truth is, no, they can't do that, and they're not going to. And you should go make, if you want to make reaction videos, go make your own. You don't have to license anything from them. And they never said you had to either. Yeah. All they're offering is a way to franchise their stuff. I know that's what they intend. But it's just the way it all came off. It was not clear in any way. And it just, you know.
That's the problem is they made another video that was trying to clear anything up. And it was like, it seemed so kind of like banal and pointless. Yeah. There was no... Well, what does it mean to have our, our format? Like, what is our format? Well, watch any of our videos. There's nothing here.
Yeah.
It's somebody sitting looking at a laptop talking, with a lower third, and I think a video in, like, a corner. Like, there's nothing.
Yeah.
Like, what is there that I'm licensing other than the name or, like, a title at the front?
Yeah, I wonder if after this backlash, you're going to see more people just making their own React videos and...
Hopefully.
And just kind of like pushing back against it. Like, I would, you know, are people going to start licensing the React thing, or are people just going to say, fuck it, I'm going to put up my own React videos? Yeah. And like, how many letters can the Fine Brothers lawyers actually send out before it gets tedious and becomes a distraction from making their own videos?
And honestly, I was going to say, some people will, I think a few people will benefit from doing, if they go through with their thing, Fine Brothers, like, whole licensing thing. There will be some people who use all the official stuff and go real weird with it, and it'll be like, whoa, look at this guy in this other country who's making this React show. And it might benefit from their promotion. But by and large,
no,
make your own. And
it won't, and don't. I think the majority of it is just going to be shutting down people with 10 subscribers.
And
that's going to be more that is going to happen.
And I should say, like, I've a lot of this conversation I have even expressed that I feel bad for the Fine Brothers in some ways. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I also have heard plenty of, frankly, I have heard plenty of reports of people having their stuff taken down by them.
You know,
I have heard that, to be fair.
They're siding with the dark side. Because there's a lot of bullshit that I've experienced personally about my own personal videos being taken down. Not because of the Fine Brothers, but due to copyright stuff on YouTube that I have felt was like, you know what? I think I'm in the right, but I have nowhere to go with my complaints because YouTube just shut it down, said like, you know what? You're wrong. This is copyright violations. Done. And now they've added a whole nother criteria videos to that. Like, it sucks. Just the way YouTube is, when there's a copyright claim and things get shut down, that's it. They don't like really investigate it. Sometimes if you're a big channel, they do, but by and large, for the most part, it's just like, it sucks. And to see more and more videos become susceptible to that, just blanket, like,
I think YouTube, it's part of the problem. Works closely with who they choose to work closely with, so that way certain channels and certain people don't fall into those trappings.
Yeah.
But by and large, it is a blanket, like, yeah, fuck it, take it down.
Well, it's just, I've had, you know, I do music videos sometimes. I've had music videos taken down off my YouTube channel for copyright infringement, even though they were commissioned by the owners of the copyright.
Right.
The people who own the music wanted a video, and then the video violates a YouTube thing, and it's just a big bureaucracy that hurts a lot of people. And to add to that bureaucracy, I think that is what outrages people.
Yeah, that's what outraged people. And again, as I said a minute ago, they in their video kept talking about how we miss the heyday of YouTube, and we want creators to have the power, and we want this, and all these things that sound good, and then they turn around and say, well, here's our licensing plan. It just reeked of the wolf in sheep's clothing, you know? Yeah. Regardless of what they intended.
We're pro creator. We want all the little guys to be making stuff, but also, be careful of our lawyers. We're coming for you, but not you specifically. But also be careful.
Yeah, it just didn't look right.
No, exactly.
Regardless of what they really plan to do or not, it didn't look right, and that's what our video is making fun of.
Yeah. And
that's
it. Our next video is gonna have nothing to do with the Fine Brothers. All the subscribers we got from Reddit this week are gonna leave us when they see our next video.
It's gonna get like, I don't know, a 20th of the views that this one got, and we spent a lot of time on it. So
As soon as this video blew up, I mean, in 2 hours, it was all over the internet, and it was we were about to work on this other video that, again, we paused to do the Fine Brothers thing, and so we saw this one blowing up, and we were like, wow. Well, let's go work hard on this other video. We have way more work to do on that will get a tenth of the views.
So, with that being on the front of Reddit, that makes views just go nuts.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
It's
getting near a million.
Now, the original video, the Fine Brothers video, is called Update, right?
I don't know. No, that's their second one.
That's the second one.
Yeah.
Interestingly, I've been looking at the likes and dislikes. When I checked in with the first one, way more dislikes, like almost double what the likes were. The update one, I haven't seen the update one, is 45,000 likes, but 176,000 dislikes.
Yeah, but that's a lot of people who just saw, oh, they made another video dislike. Like, I don't put a lot of credence into the like and dislike. That's a jerk off, like, nothing. The like and dislike button on YouTube,
people hit without even watching the video.
Nobody gives a shit. Gotcha. Yeah, they're just hitting a button. Like,
I like and dislike videos often, so I disagree.
Do you really?
I think it's. I do dislike videos sometimes when they're lame.
Oh, React World Announcement is the name of their video.
You know what I used to do when I was younger and a dick? And you could do this. When they had recently uploaded videos, I would go to the newest one. If it was some annoying whatever, I would dislike. They uploaded it 30 seconds ago.
One dislike.
Okay. you want to know the likes and dislikes now? It's considerably bigger. On the original React Around the World announcement, 37,000 likes, 207 dislikes.
207,000.
Okay. No, 207,000.
That's the... 207,000. Christ.
Anyway, so that's that.
Anyway, there you go.
Well, you guys aren't alone. I mean, that...
You know, I actually...
We weren't alone.
Dude, I actually... Honestly, no joke. I'm not joking. I feel bad for them. Just because you could see the difference in their faces from one video to the other.
So, yeah, those guys. Fucking exhausted.
Dude, they, emotionally, I know that they're not doing well right now, and I feel bad for that.
Yeah, so you gotta look that up.
It's gotta hurt their business.
Someone on NeoGAF.
I'll put it on,
actually,
I'll put it on the screen.
Yeah, posted a image of them before and after the announcement. And it's just, you see two defeated men.
Yep. Yeah. It's two happy guys standing, and then the picture below is just two guys. Sitting on a couch. Oh, man.
It looked like they both got diarrhea. Like, they, it's just like...
They'll deflate you.
Yeah. Everything's diarrhea with you, Rocco. You
yeah, Rocco's
you
a poop.
You need a new reference.
That's the thing is, people say that we're involved in this war. I'm way too dumb to be in a war like this. I don't know what we're... I'm in over my head.
The war's over. You never filmed a React video. You've never shown your kids anything.
The war's over.
Yeah, Sean keeps his kids locked in a room.
They're in a black room. No lights, anything. No some shit.
The beef has officially been settled. Fine, brothers, we forgive you. The beef is officially settled.
You're welcome.
It's clear to us you're not going to change your course, so more power to you.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we really should trademark public videos and public prank videos.
That's a good idea.
Just to protect ourselves, honestly, because somebody else will trademark it in the future.
You should trademark.
And then we won't be able to do it anymore.
Trademark public prank videos so other people stop doing shitty
prank videos. No, I don't want to stop anybody.
I just want to make sure nobody stops us.
I want to make sure we can continue.
I think our next video should be a collab with the Fine Brothers because no one would see that coming.
Yeah,
that'd be a big twist.
Hell yeah.
Surprise.
Big fucking twist.
So yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, yeah, reach out to us.
Well, let us know. Come on down to San Diego. Film a quick vid. It'll be fun.
We'll do
a public skit with you guys, and you guys can do a public skit, and then we'll do a React video.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be a crossover.
Cool. Oh, I like it.
Very cool idea.
No one will see it coming.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That'd be so
good. We have sponsors.
Yes. hey.
Can you believe how corporate they are? Dude. Anyway, this week's podcast...
Another cell phone. No, it's, I want to say thank you to, Kickapoo Joy Juice. Mm. Go and get a, we don't have any here right now at my home. There are. We drank it all.
We don't even have any at the studio.
We drank all that too.
No, yeah, we drank it all. There's one.
There's one lone bottle of Malibu.
I was going to drink it. Remember I told you I was going to have it on the podcast.
For your birthday. Actually, Kickapoo trademarked the term Kickapoo. You're not allowed to drink one unless you license the beverage from them through a local retailer.
Uh-huh.
Beverages and More is a licensing distributor.
That makes sense.
You can buy a Kickapoo license at Amazon.com. And I think they're handing out Kickapoo licenses to consume the beverage at Kickapoo.com too.
Well,
get a license.
No matter how you get licensed up, you can drink it wherever, whenever. If you go to drinkkickapoo.com, get a case.
You can get your
Follow them on Twitter at drinkkickapoo, and they'll tell you where the drinks are at any given moment.
Where you can legally obtain one.
Where you can legally have a sip.
You don't want any pirated Kickapoo or Kickapoo outside of the
illegal
licensing scheme.
License the poo, man.
Poo. You don't want any illegal poo.
Yeah.
So, anyway,
that would be a legal shitstorm for you.
Yeah, so get a Kickapoo today and do it legally. I also want to say...
Have the Fine Brothers reacted to Kickapoo yet?
They like it.
Yeah, good stuff.
Do kids...
Now there's going to be a third image comparison. They'll be alive.
Made a video, kids react to Kickapoo. I took a couple of kids ages 5 and under, and I forced them to... I gave them each a 24-pack of Kickapoo. Mm-hmm. Forced them to eat... I don't know how many ounces that is. 12-ounce cans. Yeah, and then they reacted to it.
They liked it.
Can't upload it, but he did
it. They loved
it. They can't upload it, but they fucking loved it.
I can't upload it.
That's a good reaction.
Yeah.
They had a reaction.
They did have one.
And that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
So anyways, experiment for yourself. Get a case of Kickapoo. Go nuts.
Yeah. The hardest I laughed is still the shitty meme that somebody posted. Just had an allergic reaction to peanuts. Got sued by the Fine Brothers. That still cracks me up. Anyway, anyway, so thank you to Kickaboo. Hey, while you're at it and you're on your web browser of choice, check out shop.mega64.com, where you can get a selection of items, tall and wide. I mean, any size, really.
Shop.mega64.com is perfectly optimized to be used in Netscape.
Yeah. Netscape Navigator.
Yeah.
Did you ever go to school with a kid that called it Nutscrape?
Nope.
No way.
I wish I was that.
Yeah.
Oh man, you got Nutscrape. You got Internet Explorer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, what was Firefox?
Firefox.
Firecox, dumbass.
Yeah, Fired Cox. Anyway, and then Chrome wasn't around at the time.
No, that's new kid on the block.
What would Chrome be, dumb?
What are the kids? Maybe the kids could write in email question of the week. What are y'all in high school?
Yeah, what browser? Yeah,
Chrome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nutscrape.
Anyway. Go to Nutscrape
Navigator. Open up Nutscrape Navigator. Go to shop.mega64.com.
Shop.mega64.com. We got all kinds of stuff. I'm happy to say, any day now we will be shipping. We did pre-orders in early January for the Mega 64. 10th Anniversary Collection Blu-ray box set that has all our stuff, version 1, 2, and 3, plus more. All in one box set. Those will finally ship soon, those of you who pre-ordered it.
Awesome.
Those of you who didn't, there will be copies in the main store. We'll announce it whenever we know. It should be any day now. They're just wrapping up. They take a long time to make.
Yeah.
But anyway, it should be any day now.
Keep an eye on the Twitter.
This coming Friday, there will be a couple things back in stock, too. The Charm shirts. We'll be back. And I think, I'll double check, I think the Cute Boy shirt, the baseball cut kind of shirt, I think that should be back too, but we'll have to find out. But,
yeah.
But the Charm shirt will be. So anyway, check out shop.mega64.com. It's a great way to support our shows. And also, if you want to directly support us consistently, because you like our stuff so much, go to patreon.com/mega64, where you can patronize us, basically.
Oh my God.
Every month,
wow.
You can contribute a small amount, and it does help, and we can hit some new goals.
It helps us a lot. We want to hit our next goal. We want to hit it. So visit us on patreon.com/mega64.
Before I get fired, is that one still? Is that 9,000?
It was 9,000. I'm willing to lower it. I'm willing to lower it.
Okay.
Might consider 8.
Okay.
Whoa.
Just let me know.
If we hit 8 a month, I'd be down to fire you.
I think the other way. Raise it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm ready to
punishment.
Yeah, I'm about at the end of my rope.
Shit.
And by the way, we've said it again, but you know, because of this Patreon and stuff like that, we've got Kevin doing stuff with us full time, and he right now is running PAX South for us.
Yeah, out there with Brian.
And I think he's going to be honestly just on his own. He might be doing a few more cons, just bringing a booth of our merch. Two different cons that we wouldn't have a chance to go to.
We're definitely
going
to be going to more cons this year. A lot more cons, thanks to the Patreon.
Yeah, honestly, because he's running it for us.
Oh, and
he can do that, and it doesn't take away, we should say, it doesn't take away from us working on videos.
We could film that Firehouse video because we were in Texas.
Exactly.
And in addition to that, we've been talking about it and updating about it, but our new web series, Funny Factory, is going to be debuting very soon.
Any day now.
So... lots of stuff happening. It's an exciting time to be a fan of Mega 64.
Right.
Yeah.
And, what else? What else should we talk about?
I saw a lot of Oscar movies.
Oh, yeah. You have watched a lot of stuff.
Them. Really?
Yeah.
And let me tell you, I thought Bridge of Spies was great. I think everyone would like that movie. I'll give quick reviews. I saw The Big Short. Has anyone seen that yet?
No.
I know of it, but I didn't see it. No.
I thought it was good, but the way... it was filmed.
It looks super handheld and like shaky cam. And
which I told them, I got the vibe that they wanted to give off the impression that somebody who worked in Wall Street, who is fucking cocky, edited this movie. It's kind of the...
Oh, really?
That's kind of how I
felt. You said it was kind of like the Goodfellas approach, where Scorsese wanted it to be like the gangster told the story.
Right.
And he cut the movie. Things didn't match up.
And I feel like that's what this was, with this someone who is really fucking cocky in Wall Street. So I liked the movie. Steve Carell was fucking great in it. I liked it. Revenant was fucking nuts. I felt tired and cold and...
Revenant's crazy.
After that. Mad Max, I fucking hated. And I am like the one person that I know who fucking hated that movie.
What did you not like about it?
I fucking hated it. I hated... name something. I probably hated it. Like, I just...
The cars. The landscape.
The Doof Warrior.
The story was out of...
He didn't mention the stuff he said.
What was it? I wasn't listening. I was in the zone.
I was in the zone. I wasn't named anything.
Sorry, I wasn't listening to any of that.
Sorry. And I knew people were getting pissed off at me by saying that. I know it. I don't understand what you liked.
But I honestly, I don't agree with that. I really, really liked that movie, but I almost agree with everything you said about it. I felt no human connection to anything in it. I thought it was an incredibly badass action movie. But I think Best Picture is absurd. I think there's no one I have any connection to in it.
Which I did like. I thought the world was cool. Yeah. Like, wow, this is neat. But there is nothing besides that. Like, the story, literally, spoiler, the story is we got halfway to where we wanted to go. We're just going to go back. That's the story. Yeah. Like, what the fuck happened?
Yeah.
I could not believe this was a movie that was what people were talking about. I was shocked.
When you boil it down to that, that's hilarious.
I don't think it's a movie so much about what happens, but how it happens.
Sure.
Okay. And I think it progresses better than most movies today progress.
Sure.
For example, he has that thing on his face.
Yeah.
The majority of the movie. Any other movie would have been like, he gets that fucking whipped off and on to the next thing. And I just appreciate, I think a lot of people did.
Yeah.
It took its time to savor some elements. Whether they were the greatest elements ever, I think was not the point.
There's too many things out right now that where a problem is quickly dealt with and things are a thing for 1 second.
Contrast would be The Martian in an early, I don't want to give away what happens, but in the early part of that movie, he has a very like, oh fuck, how's he going to deal with this problem? And it's kind of like, all right, on to the next thing. All right,
done. What do I figure out now?
Yeah. Sure.
Totally.
Sure.
Yeah.
I do like The Martian too, by the way. But with Mad Max, like, I thought that the way the action sequences were cool, but those characters, I didn't give a fuck about. I didn't care about, like, I just couldn't believe that was the movie. Like, it really...
Sure, yeah.
Sure,
yeah.
I think that maybe if I walked into the theater when it came out, not expecting shit, and got that movie, I would have liked it more. But when I saw it, it's now everyone's hyped it up for a year, and now it's nominated for Best Picture, and I watched it, and it was...
The thing is, you are seeing it a year late in a bad context. That definitely is an unfortunate
picture,
thing.
Really? Wow.
And that's why I try to see this shit right when it comes out, because you do kind of become victim to reactions. Sorry if I'm allowed to
did
say
you
that.
Say,
oh,
shit.
Uh-oh. Did you just fucking say the word?
Don't.
Sorry.
Wow. Don't.
Voldemort.
Right. Don't.
Anyway, my response to that is... no, but you know what I mean? It's just kind of... unfortunate place to be with that.
Sure, but for example, I watched when I did watch The Big Short. I went in the same mindset of this was nominated for Best Picture. Let me see what it's about.
Sure,
and I liked it. So I can't say that that's really you know.
Sure, sure.
I don't
know.
I just can't. Anyways, whatever. He doesn't care anymore. But
you can't be bothered.
I can't be bothered.
Face it.
Yeah. Anyways, there's my Oscar. You know, I see the other ones. I want to watch Spotlight next.
Yeah, I haven't watched the... other than... Revenant. We saw Revenant. Yeah, Revenant, Mad Max. I've seen The Martian. I'm going to see these other ones coming up, but I haven't yet.
Yeah.
I'll see Bridge of Spies in like the next couple days, probably.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen any of that stuff.
I think Bridge of Spies would have been... I think Frank was saying this too. It would have been a bigger deal if Spielberg didn't direct it. Because people expect it from him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great. It was, I loved it.
That's
interesting.
Interesting.
They're not going to nominate, you know, I don't know. I just feel like you didn't hear the buzz about it because, oh, it's Spielberg. Of course he did a great movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I didn't know it was Spielberg.
I mean, a lot of people don't know the Coen brothers wrote it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's still, people don't talk about that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they wrote it.
Huh.
Is it
funny?
No.
Oh.
No, but anyway, so I want to check that stuff out. I got to watch this past week. I just saw, I think, a couple documentaries, and the main one that I saw was it just came out. I think it might be on Netflix. I'm not sure, but my dad actually got a Blu-ray copy of it. But All Things Must Pass is a documentary about Tower Records, the famous music store that was around for decades, the rise and fall of it, and. You know, that was a mainstay for so long. And I mean, I'm speaking for myself, but my dad is a, you know, huge music nut. I mean, he loved the biggest thing for him is the Beatles, but he was at Tower Records every single week. Every Tuesday, he was there no question. And I went with him all the time as a kid. That was like, I mean, so that I was, I knew about Tower Records, but it didn't occur to me that all that would flood back in as soon as I started the movie. Mm-hmm. The movie, the documentary starts in like an empty Tower Records store that's like still standing somewhere, I think in Northern California or something. And I was, yeah, I was not prepared for like the feelings I got as soon as it rushed. It was like, oh my God, yeah. I went here every week as a kid with my dad.
Yeah, I did
like,
the same thing
and
with my dad too.
It was just like, oh, like it was like all these memories that were locked away came out.
Huh.
But it was really interesting to see kind of the rise and fall and how funny, how interesting the fall was. It wasn't like a gradual like, oh man, not doing so good. It was Tower Records is expanding at the same rate from 1960 to 2000. And then suddenly one day it was over. And it was like cross attack from all these different places. It was CDs became the mainstay thing, and they wanted them to be, people are willing to pay more for CDs, right? Right? Well, let's get rid of singles. Sometimes people just want the one song, but we'll get them to buy the full album. You know, $20. Here's the $20 for the CD. Here's this. And at the same time, Walmart started going, all right, we'll sell CDs for $12. And then at the same time, Napster came out, because some people, you know, if you deny the consumer enough, they'll find ways. And people sometimes just want a single. I just want Eminem's new song. I don't need the album. Well, they found an easy way to get it, and Napster came around. And it was like those things happened on one week. And then it was like, hey, by the way, you have no money. What? We made $1 billion last 2 years ago.
Yeah.
No. And it was like overnight. Overnight, you are replaced.
Damn.
And so anyway, it's a really interesting documentary. It's more so about their rise and how a small group of people made it happen than it is the fall. But it's a really interesting documentary. Interviews with Elton John, who used to go every week. Dave Grohl, who used to work there. Lots of great stuff. Yeah, Dave Grohl talks about working at the store and then eventually having a signing there as Nirvana.
That's cool.
And how he knew he made it was they had a painting of Nevermind. Like, Tower Records, and it reminded me, Tower Records used to always have big painted displays of albums. They'd make like a 3D sculpture of like, you know, the baby swimming in the pool. He's like, I went and they had a 3D baby and a real dollar bill like on a string dangling around. And I was like, cool. I made it. Oh man, yeah. I used to work here.
That's so cool.
So anyway,
My dad took me, as you said, did they know who your dad was when you walked in? Because when I remember going to my dad, all like, oh, hey, Craig. Like, the employees knew my dad because he was always fucking there.
They were always showing him Beatles stuff.
Yeah.
They didn't know anything else about him, but it was always like, hey, just so you know, we're getting Anthology next week. You know about that, right? Yeah. Okay, great. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And they would let him get stuff. I think like when the Beatles Anthology came out, they let him go at midnight. Like, they opened the store. They opened the store for like a few people they knew. Because the crew at each store would be really like hand trained by like the main five people that ran it all. It wasn't a very corporate store. And so they were all people who were really into music and were really, you know, feverish about it. So yeah, at midnight they would actually on their own time come down and that's like, fine. All right, buy the album.
One of the last times I went was a midnight record release for a Tool album.
Oh, really? They did one for Tool?
And a Weezer album on the same night.
Really?
What album was it?
It was Lateralis for Tool, and I think it was
Maladroit.
I don't know what it was.
Green?
It might have been Green. I think it was the green one.
Maladroit.
I got just the Weezer one. My roommate got both. But we went down there and did a midnight thing. Before that, I used to dumpster dive in the one near my house.
Oh, yeah.
But the good one was down in Pacific Beach.
Because they would just have...
They would just have all the promotional shit they threw away. Yeah. I pulled out a stack of fucking Silverchair posters that I just used to make other posters and stuff, like the back of them. There was all kinds of stuff I'd find in the dumpsters behind the tower over at college.
It's just funny because you see stuff in some of the footage and it's like, you just realize how much is, what?
You ever heard that Tool song? It's like...
Oh, yeah.
Derek was over here. Everyone was talking.
I saw him playing bass.
And then I was like, it's Tool.
The Tool song. It was so quiet.
I thought he was having a stroke.
It was weird.
But it's just weird seeing stuff from another time that is so, like, okay, pre-order the Backstreet Boys CD now, and we'll open at midnight. Like, you know, it's like music does not have that anymore.
No.
The closest thing is record store day to having anything like that. But yeah, that is a closer. Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Anyway.
Anyways, so anything else?
Were there I watched movies? A documentary. Yeah.
What'd you watch?
Available on Netflix. It is a very crazy documentary. I think it's new. I think they just put it out. It's a new release. It's called Cartel Land. Has anybody seen Cartel Land?
I think I got emails from people recommending, like, you should check this out.
Oh, for me?
Yeah. I think I did.
It is absolutely a documentary I would like. Cartel Land is about Mexican drug cartels and just kind of like the whole situation going on.
Sounds scary.
It is scary. I didn't realize that there are like significant portions of America that are basically under like cartel control.
In America?
In America,
what, through like Texas and New Mexico?
Through Texas, Arizona, New Mexico. Basically, it's just a wide open desert out there, and in the middle of it is fences. And these cartels use these areas to smuggle their drugs and smuggle people in. And they have set up forward operating bases in America to facilitate these smuggling routes. Like, they have these smuggling routes basically planned out. They're guarded with guns, and they have, like, housing, you know, shacks built up as lookout points. And the U.S. government isn't there. Basically, they don't have enough manpower to do anything about it. So local guys started just arming themselves.
Like Minutemen.
Yeah, local militia. And you hear about these militias in the news all the time. Well, this documentary, they actually go down and interview one. And it was like modern day Wild Wild West. This guy, he was explaining it. And it was like, yeah, well, these criminals, these banditos roll into town with machine guns. They don't have a problem killing anybody.
Jesus.
They'll kill anybody who gets in their way. Government says we should call the police. It takes 90 minutes for the police to come out here. What am I supposed to do for 90 minutes when the cartel's firing guns at you?
He's like,
it's like the Wild West down here. Nobody's going to defend us. We have to defend ourselves. And then the other half of the documentary is like deep in Mexico. You've probably heard about farmers becoming like arming themselves to fight back. It follows that whole movement.
Like
the leader of that group. And yeah, it's called Cartel Land.
Let me check it out.
It's heinous documentary. You will see severed heads in it.
Maybe
there's stories of babies being murdered.
This is real life.
It's real life, and it's happening in our backyard.
Yeah,
the thing is, it's real life. I don't want to know about. You know,
I think everybody. You know what? Everybody should know about this shit because it's happening.
Sure.
And it sucks, but you know what? If hearing about it is hard, imagine living it. So
I'll watch when it comes to like intense, violent things like that. I will watch it when it's newsworthy. That's when I'll do it. If it's about the cartel, you know, like in that situation, I will watch that. If someone sends me, hey, check out this video. A guy was chewing on a blast cap and blasted jaw. No, I won't watch that.
God
I won't look
it.
At that. But if it's, you know what I mean, though? But if it's newsworthy,
you send me the link?
I will hunker down
context,
and I'll watch it.
Context is important.
Completely. 100% for me.
I absolutely understand that.
That's just how I stand.
Yeah,
with
we're
it,
not.
Doesn't make it hard. Doesn't make it any easier to watch sometimes.
I don't. Need to, I don't. 13, I mean, I'm like. Yeah, I'm like. We're all like 30, and I don't need to watch Faces of Death.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, if you ever do, come over.
VHS. We watch VHS.
I think the last time. Oh, sorry.
Oh, nothing. Just it really opened up my eyes because I think you. There's all this stuff about what's going on in Iraq and what's going on in the Middle East, and you're like, man, it's fucking crazy. Glad I'm not over there. It is just as crazy. 2 hours away from where we are right now.
And it's not just 2 hours south. It's 2 hours
east.
Yeah. And 2 hours north. Like, you really have
pockets of...
Well, Southern California is so coastally built that when you go 2 hours east of here or 2 hours northeast of here or whatever, you want to fucking live in Inland Empire? You want to live out in, Barstow or, like, Calexico or, like... Like, absolutely not. But, like, all those things just outside of that, there's a reason that, like, meth is made in Lakeside because there's a lot of just nothing land.
Yeah.
Like, and that's what you have a lot of just outside of where we live. And especially down in Mexico, too. It's, like, scary shit. And what makes it so scary is that it's so profitable.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money.
And also, that it's so, like, good.
Hey,
like,
on a happy entrepreneurial note, it made me realize... You could go out to the middle of fucking nowhere and do whatever you want. Like, being in a big city, it's like, man, I can't afford a house.
You gotta get away with
people. How am I
gonna
start a business? Yeah, but literally, these guys, they go to the middle of the desert, there's nothing there, and they just set up a whole operation.
Dude, that's what fucking terrified me when we were doing that journey video. And we're in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Yeah, the intro we filmed
guns.
In the desert, yeah.
Guy is shooting guns, and it's like, this guy could kill us, and people wouldn't find our bodies for... A week? 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Like, maybe he'd be going long gone.
I'm going to the middle of the desert and just shot guns.
Yeah,
I've done that too.
That's where you did. Yeah, exactly.
I've gone out in the middle of the desert and done a lot of stuff.
Oh, fuck.
He's done that. You go into the middle of the desert, set up shop, start your empire. Mm-hmm. If it's good enough for the $1 billion cartel, it's good enough for everybody else. Anyways, Cartel Land, it's on Netflix.
All right.
Everybody else, it was cool.
I we were talking about it last night, so I went home and rewatched Nightcrawler on Netflix.
Yeah, we were talking about
that.
Oh, you watched that after we talked about it?
We were just talking about that at dinner yesterday.
Yeah. And you told me, yeah, it's up on Netflix. And I was like, oh, I saw that theater. I want to give it another
Nightcrawler
watch.
Nightcrawler got snubbed last year at the Oscars.
Yeah, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Did he get nominated
for shit?
Oh, it should have. That movie's great.
Yeah, I really liked it again.
We were talking about it because I brought it up and I said, should I watch it again? Because I did not enjoy it. But Andrew told me, yeah, you know what? I think watch it because I think your expectations might be a little bit different now and I think you might enjoy it more than the first time you saw it. Which I can understand.
I really enjoyed it. Have you watched it again?
No, I haven't. And that's why we were talking about it.
And we were talking about it. And what I said is when it ended, I was dismissive. I was like, no. This ended. You had something going here, and just kind of, and then the movie farted out, and it ended. And I was pissed at it, and it took time to really soak in the message of it, and I really appreciated it.
Oh, I loved it when I saw it, and I felt that movie tells the truth, and the truth hurts.
Exactly.
I felt
like that was my issue with it.
A lot of people couldn't accept kind of the story. They kind of shrugged it off. Like, the movie was ridiculous, and I was like, I think that movie is more true than you realize.
I agree.
The news is a fucking entertainment show.
There's people like him out there.
Oh, and there are. And that newscasters get involved in stories and like try to escalate.
I absolutely agree with
simply
that.
Simply to entertain people when it's like you're supposed to be reporting on real life stuff.
Right? My problem wasn't with any of those things. I just felt like when I watched it, the stakes were incredibly low and I felt like it didn't get out of second or third gear. It just kind of like maintained and then like the climax had like this peak to it that I didn't feel like was super huge, and then it just kind of ended, and I went, oh, I thought it was going to be more than that. So that was it.
I think that there were moral stakes that I was really into. Like, this guy's getting involved in these events.
Right.
And that is, like, he's crossing lines, and that was very exciting to me.
He's battling evidence.
Yeah, but I never had any...
But it was very, like, low-key stuff.
Yeah, but I never had any doubt that that character would do something like that ever. Like, he always struck me as a character that would go to any lengths to get whatever he needed.
Yeah.
He just needed a foot in the door. He got his foot in the door, and then the rest was just him doing anything
that
he took.
He was an anti-hero. I like it because it's a rags-to-riches story about a bad guy.
Yeah.
It really is. And his riches, I felt like, were pretty, like, not riches. It was pretty, it ended up being kind of, like, low. But that's it. That's my complaint on that movie. But I think I might watch it again. I just have to kind of gear up for it a little bit.
It was something that really grew on me. But what did you think seeing it another time?
Oh, no, I had a great time watching it again. Like, really just focusing on the character as someone who is not good at communicating with people. And they even call attention to that at a scene in the movie where, like, oh, you know, I think you have a problem, like, talking to other people or whatever. I think Jake Gyllenhaal says something like, you know, it's not that I don't have trouble talking to people, it's just I don't like them. It's like there are people out there that do not like other people and they will use to whatever advantage, like, to benefit themselves.
Yeah, it's a scummy businessman.
Yeah, I mean, just honestly, like, you're going to introduce me to these people and I want my fucking name in this thing now. Yeah. And, like,
I feel like
he's
this
all fake
guy
nice
was
to move himself forward.
Daniel Plainview esque. Where it's just like, he doesn't fucking like people.
But, like,
there
are businessmen that had definitely operated like that. And I think you could get away with operating like that back in, like, the 60s and 70s a lot more than you can today. But there are still people out there that are that fucking cutthroat.
Yeah. I also thought it was cool. I feel like that character, like, he's off. It looks weird looking at him. And
yeah.
He's not blinking, I think. I don't think he blinks. Like,
yeah, through a lot of it, I don't think he does.
He just, like, stares.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
there's
like, some
sociopath.
There.
Yeah, it's fucking... I thought he did great. I think that's cool.
Yep. It reminded me... I got Boogie Nights vibes.
I get that,
watching
too.
It. Just kind of, like, about the underbelly of L.A.
I was
going to
say, I think L.A.
Drive.
Oh, yeah, you were saying Drive. Yeah, I think when it comes to Los Angeles and you have that as, like, your setting... I think you get a lot of those vibes kind
but
of playing through it.
I think there's so many movies about the glitz and glamour of Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. I like movies about, like, the shit underbelly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you seen this documentary? I think it's called Los Angeles Plays Itself, or LA Plays Itself.
No.
I think it's on Netflix, if it still is. And it's about, I mean, it's like a video essay about this journalist put together about LA through in film as like a backdrop, as a setting,
right,
as a character, as a place to like produce, like why LA became what it was and then how it was used in film.
Yeah.
And I think you would really like it. It's really, really interesting. But I think it's called LA Plays Itself.
You know, Eric, though, going back to what you're talking about with him succeeding in the story, and like it's not, you didn't see it as that big of a success, but that was kind of why I ended up appreciating that story was that the next day is this guy is totally within the gears of another day in media, and there's nothing there's nothing unusual about it. And that is that guy's greatest success possible.
I feel like I disagree that he doesn't success, because the movie starts with him like stealing scrap metal, trying to sell it.
He mugs the guy for a watch.
And being fucking rejected. Yeah. And it ends with him basically set up for life. Like, I have my empire now.
Yeah.
I just felt like that character, I never felt like him succeeding or failing in this instance mattered ultimately to the character. Because if he failed here, he would have just gone on to another thing to give as much as he gave to this to try to succeed there. There was no... His stakes felt low because ultimately it didn't matter whether he succeeded or failed here. He was shown as a character that failed throughout at the beginning, but still got by and didn't really care about this thing. He learned about it and he became successful at it, but I took that character as at any point he could have failed here, packed it up, and done something
else. But that's what was so powerful to me.
He would just continue to be a loser.
No, but that's what was powerful to me is that something as delicate as how people are portrayed and the powerful role that the media plays in everything is now in the hands of that guy.
That's interesting.
In the hands of this guy who could be selling scrap metal, but instead did this.
Yeah.
And it's like, fuck, man, that guy is the one showing what you look like.
And I do,
you
and
know,
I,
like,
and I
that's what I mean.
I disagree with your point about him continuing to be a loser. I think he would have found success eventually in another field, wherever that might have been. He was shown as just a guy who was looking for his foot in a door. He found his foot in a door, and he just went forward.
He was almost like a crackhead who didn't, like, smoke crap.
Yeah.
He, like, couldn't get a break in life. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, he kind of was at the end of his rope and was, like... That's why it's so, to me, interesting to see him go down this wormhole of, like, I'm at a crime scene and I'm manipulating evidence. Because, yeah, you see how this guy... Again, he has, like, crackhead desperation and continues to be successful. Yeah, I liked it. You saw a guy who, you know, should end up in jail, and he keeps getting away. Sure. It's, like, almost like, you know, there's another movie, Man Bites Dog, and it's all about following a serial killer. Mm-hmm. And you just watch him kill people and kill people. The cops never fucking catch him. Nope, and it's just like, yeah, I don't know. You're just seeing a bad guy get away with doing bad stuff and getting... more and more success from doing it.
Yep.
But I think this right here, everything that we're discussing is like why... Yeah, maybe you should have just nominated it last year. Like, just in terms
that's
of like...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know of any other movie I've talked about maybe as much last year. Mm-hmm. But regardless, podcast question of the week, what did you think of the movie Nightcrawler? Email podcast@mega64.com. Give it a yay or a nay. Give it some text as well included in the email. That would... that would describe what an email
film
is.
Yourself watching it. Upload it to YouTube.
Film your. We're doing a challenge. Everyone out there, film yourself watching the entire movie Nightcrawler, and we will feature like on our Twitter and stuff the best video. I was gonna call it a reaction.
Don't do that.
Viewing video.
Yeah, yeah. There you go.
Viewing video.
Don't That's react. Viewing. Okay. Let me rephrase. Film yourself watching the movie Nightcrawler, but not reacting at all.
Yeah, don't react.
The title should be Mega 64 Fan Views and Thinks About and Speaks About Nightcrawler.
And upload and we will show the best ones.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, we'll show them next week.
Well, we'll talk about it.
Do a view and speak video.
Speak and say. Oh, no, that's trademarked!
Mattel's going to get pissed.
Anyway, so that's that.
We did it.
Well, we are
one more thing.
I want to be one more thing.
Okay.
What?
Good night.